wondering if Michael Card is one of those voices that you hear singing in your head when you are singing to the Lord. I will tell you that El Shaddai is still the song Michael Card sings to me and with me when I sing it. Yes, I know that it is from, I don't know, 1983. That's sort of when I knowingly fell in love with this particular song and the words of it and how it helped me as a very young person enter in to the presence of the living God. It gave me language I didn't have before. It certainly gave me a memorable tune by which to sing to the living God. And so I'm wondering, is there something that Michael Card has sung over the course of the last several decades that is your heart song, that when you sing that particular song, you are better able to enter into the presence of the living God? I know that's his heart for why he sings and why he writes music that we can sing together. So Michael Card has just completed this four-part biblical imagination series, and it's four parts because there are four gospels. And so he has focused his attention in recent years on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today he is here with us to talk about John, the gospel of wisdom. Michael Card, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am well. I was dancing there for a minute, so I was sharing with people that my Michael Card heart song is El Shaddai.
Oh, gosh. That's an old thing. You're giving your age away there.
I know, but I won't, because people would not appreciate it. But like I could, that is the one that like sings in my soul. Like I could sing it right now, which would not be appropriate. So I want to just thank you for the ways in which you have enriched our worship life as individuals and as the body of believers, because you have provided a soundtrack for us for such a long period of time. So let me just say thanks for that.
Well, thank you. Well, the new thing I've realized just in the last couple of years is if anything I've done has really helped you, I had nothing to do with it. That's a very freeing thing to realize. But thank you for the encouragement. I received that. I'm not pushing it away.
No, well, thank you. So let's talk about this particular project, John, the Gospel of Wisdom. Uh-huh. And so I'm remembering that on a prior occasion, you wrote about the Gospel of John as the parable of joy. So we've now moved, right, I think, from joy to wisdom. So talk about your observations there.
Well, that's interesting. I think earlier, you know, you anytime you write a book or even a song, you know, a month or two later, you'll learn something new that you wish you'd put in there. And I think that's what happened with John. Like most people, I'd always loved the Gospel of John and wrote something about it. I don't know when that book came, the first book came out. But I just kept learning new things and putting the pieces of the puzzle together in new ways. And it's still happening. I'm working on a book on the life of Jesus right now, and there's so much I'm learning that I wish I'd known before. But that's what it's like studying the Bible.
You love the Word, the one who is in flesh, Jesus the Christ, mm-hmm. and therefore you love the Word on the written page, and you continue mm-hmm. to study it. I want to invite you to invite listeners into that experience. What is it about studying the Scriptures that continues to just draw you back in?
Well, there's nothing like, obviously there's no book like the Bible. It's alive, and it, someone said, this is a good thing. Someone said, the Bible is the only book that reads you. When you read the Bible, there's this two-way interaction that happens through the Holy Spirit that's not like anything else. And most especially when you're, in the Gospels or just any place in the Bible that talks about Jesus, he's constantly revealing himself. And it was something I realized just last night. I mean, we really know Jesus better. We can potentially know him better than the disciples did, because we have his presence in us that illuminates the Word. So there's nothing, there's no experience like reading the Bible, nothing remotely like it.
So I'm talking with Michael Card. We are talking about his latest project, John, the Gospel of Wisdom. It is a part of the four-volume commentary set, The Biblical Imagination. series. And so John is literally different, right? I mean, he's literally not a synoptic writer. And so the Gospel of John is literally different. I'm wondering, when you jumped into this, what did you discover is just like so different about John?
Well, I think what's different about John is, and this sounds so simple when you hear it, but, you know, as far as we know, John's the last gospel that was written. It's written around 100. Mark, for example, is written 64, 65, right after fire in Rome. So what makes one big thing that makes John so different, not just that it's late, but he's been preaching and teaching 30, 40 years, these things about the life of Jesus. And when you, once you realize that and you read the Gospel of John, it makes perfect sense. It's pretty sermonic. I mean, it comes together in sermons. He has elegantly organized his material in a way that Mark just didn't. I mean, Mark is still God's word. It's Holy Scripture, but Mark is writing down what Peter remembers about Jesus. Mark is really the Gospel of Peter. And it's got a certain amount of roughness to it, which I like. But then you read John, and Jesus is the light, and he's the word, and the stories have all been gathered together by themes. And why do you think that is? It's because John's been teaching and preaching this stuff for 30 or 40 years.
So you've been at this 30 or 40 years. Right? And so,
but
I'm just saying, like, right?
Well,
the things that you sing and the things that you write may be differently developed in terms of their themes or their structure than they were 30 or 40 years ago. So I think that that would really make sense to people who are of an age that we can look back and we can say, you know what? I did think about the things of the faith in a different way when I was younger. And now that I have more experiences, I have walked a longer road. I have had the experience of the attentiveness of God along the way. I mean, all of those kinds of things, right? I do see themes and put things together in ways that are different than I did 30 or 40 years ago.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope so. I hope that we have more confidence in him because, he's been faithful to us. People love to talk about how they're faithful or not. I mean, what they don't talk about enough is how God's faithful to us. I think if you've been with him, if you've been walking with him for some, you know, longer period of time, and you know him better and you trust him more, and it should resonate differently than someone who's just come to know him. But another side of that is, I don't know about you, I love being around new Christians because they they teach me things too. So, yeah.
Well, and they're hungry and interested in ways that sometimes I have forgotten.
It's like a new love.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. All right, I'm going to continue this conversation with Michael Card about the Gospel of John, and in particular, this particular project, John, the Gospel of Wisdom, which, by the way, we have copies to give away. If you would like to text the word book to 877-933-2484, you can also sign up to read the Gospel of John with us between now and Easter Monday, and you do that at myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. This song, this is one of my heart songs. This is El Shaddai by Michael Card. I think 1983 ish. He's still singing. He is still helping us enter into worship of the living God. He's also helping us enter into the study of the Word, and not just the study of the Word, but to enter into the Word of God in a way that maybe we haven't before. And so we're going to talk about entering into the Word of God at the level of the imagination. Michael Card, again, thank you so much for being with us today. We are giving away copies of John, the Gospel of Wisdom. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484 and join us in reading through the Gospel of John in what is left of the season of Lent. We're going to read through Easter Monday, and you can sign up to join us in that at myfaithradio.com. Talk about entering into or engaging the scripture at the level of the imagination?
Sure. I think step one is we are fallen. We are fragmented, right? That's Robbie, I just heard the commercial where he was talking about self-evident truths. One of the most self-evident truths is that this world is not the way it's supposed to be, and that we are messed up. Okay, and you see that in every dimension of humanity. You even see it in the way people read the Bible. People read the Bible in a very fragmented way. Some people read the Bible with their heads. They like theology. And there's nothing wrong with that. God gave you a mind, and that's a good thing. There are some people who just read the Bible with their hearts. My best friend is one of these people, and he cries when he reads the Bible, and he gets chill bumps when he reads the Bible, because that's how he, in his fragmented way, that's how he reads the Bible. But I think the Lord wants us to bring all of ourselves, all of our hearts, like the Shema, the great central creed of Judaism, says we love God with all our hearts and all of our minds. So we listen to Scripture with all of our hearts and all of our minds. And so the question is, how do we do that? What integrates, what bridges our heart and our mind? And I believe it's our imagination. And I believe that very deeply, because the Bible reaches out to our imaginations. It's not theology. It's not just devotion. It's this imaginative book that stirs you up so that you can listen to God with your heart and your mind. That's the shortest answer I can give you.
No, that's really good. And that's, I think that's what this series, you know, helps us engage in. And so just appreciate that. You guys can check all the entire series out at michaelcard.com. Yeah. I don't want to give people the wrong, you know, the wrong.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So Michael, as we enter into the last few weeks in the lead up to Easter, what still excites you about the gospel? Like you've been at this a long time, and you study the Word of God, and you supply those to the rest of us to study as well. You sing to Him, you help us sing to Him as well. But what still thrills you or surprises you about the gospel itself?
Oh boy, that's a big question. I like to say the Bible trembles in my hand. By that I mean when I still read the Bible, and I got really excited about Scripture when I was 14 years old. That's when the Lord really sort of hit me with it, and I went to Bible studies and I read a book. I read a book of the Bible a day for years. I was just this complete Bible nerd. And I think you were talking earlier about we got to enter into God's Word and we got to enter into God's Word. That's absolutely true. But at the same time, God's Word enters into us. It is this exchange. It's this two-way thing where you listen to God's Word and it really speaks to you. And the greatest evidence of that is you know you'll have some verse that maybe you cross stitched it and it's on your wall or it's been your favorite verse your whole life, and then all of a sudden you'll realize there's a whole other level of meaning to that verse that you never saw before. That's what excites me. Every little detail resonates that way. For example, I'm writing this book now on the details of the life of Jesus and asking, why did this happen and why did Jesus do that and what was going on behind this? And I looked at the fact that Judas kissed Jesus. Okay, Judas kisses Jesus in the garden, right? And I realized, I never thought of this before, and I feel like the Lord showed me this. Judas kisses Jesus not just to betray him. He has to be pointed out because Jesus looks just like the rest of the 12. He's not taller or blue-eyed or auburn-haired or he doesn't have a halo around his head. He's kind of scruffy looking like the rest of them. And so he has to be pointed out. Well, I've never seen that before. And that, I don't know about you, but those kind of little details, they make it come alive for me. And I, again, after all these years, I'm still realizing things like, Jesus spends 3 months out of every year walking back and forth to Jerusalem. Now, you already knew that because you knew that he went there 3 times a year. But when you realize it takes about 10 days to walk, 10 days to be there, and 10 days to be back, he spends 3 months out of every year. I mean, who does that? So those are the kind of things that excite me. And I'm seeing new things every day.
I'm seeing new things every day as well. I hope that as you're looking at the details of Jesus, so we've been reading the book of Acts with our kids.
Uh-huh.
And so Matthew made this observation that when Stephen, you know, is just right, you know, he sees Jesus, right? He's looking up to heaven. He's about to literally breathe his last. And Jesus is not seated at the right hand of the Father, which he has memorized, right? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Stephen sees Jesus standing. So, like, for some reason, Jesus actually stood up when this was happening. Like, that's significant.
Why?
That's a detail. Why? What's going on there? Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Why? Why? Because he's welcoming Stephen into his presence. I mean, imagine that. He stands up from the throne to welcome this, you know, this person who's giving his life. I mean, that's amazing.
And again,
we're talking about John. I mean, one of the details, and again, you know all these details, but one of the things that completely fascinates me about John is that every single time Jesus says something, he's misunderstood. Now, you know, and not just misunderstood in small ways, misunderstood in big ways. And after a while, you go, what does that mean? Why did John remember that? What's so important about that? And that's where the title comes from. Jesus is the wisdom of God, and he's perpetually misunderstood by people. You know, you must be born again, he tells Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, what, can a man enter his mother's womb a second time to be born? You know, he has no clue what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, I've got to the woman as well. I give you water. I got water. You'll never be thirsty again. She says, what? Is it because you don't have a bucket that you're, you know, and you read that in John, and it's just a little detail, and if you're not listening, you'll read right past it. But every single time he says something significant, people misunderstand.
All right, so one quick question before we let you go, and thank you again so much.
Okay.
You guys can check it all out at michaelcard.com. One listener has asked, okay, there's so many Johns. Which John wrote the Gospel of John?
Oh, that's a great question. And you know what? That still trips me up. I always have to stop and kind of sort it out, okay? So we got John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. See, his name's John, too. But John, who wrote the Gospel of John, is the son of Zebedee. And he is, get this, he is Jesus' cousin. How cool is that? Because his mother is Salome, and Salome is Mary's sister. So they're related. How cool is that? They're first cousins. Yeah.
Right? Don't you just love that? We'd have to go through the list of Marys as well, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, we certainly know.
Everyone's named Mary. Everyone's named Simon. You know, and there tend to be a lot of Johns. And I hope I got that right. I may have gotten that.
No.
Be completely opposite, but I think that's correct. But I have to stop and think every time. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. What a delight. Michael Card, among other things, author of John, the Gospel of Wisdom. If you'd like a copy of the book, text the word book to 877-933-2484. You can also join us in the study we are doing of the Gospel of John through Easter Monday. You can sign up at myfaithradio.com. You can also visit Michael online at michaelcard.com. Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks, Carmen. It's been a real encouragement talking to you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. What a delight. We got a whole nother hour coming up next.